Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back. My pleasure to welcome Rick Austin to the show. He's known as the Survivalist Gardener, and he's a preparedness, homesteading, and off-the-grid living expert, and he's author of Secret Garden and some other stuff in terms of camouflaged gardens and all kinds of interesting stuff like this. Rick, welcome. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Glad to be here.
Well, glad to have you, and you're coming to us from the Appalachian Mountains. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Good. Yeah. Well, you're not totally living off the grid because we're on Skype.
there's a little bit of power here, but yeah, exactly.
Few areas where technology does come in handy, but it's nice to know you have a backup plan. So tell us, why is this survival or secret garden important?
Well, you know, imagine a garden that you plant once in your lifetime that takes very little space, that grows five times more food per square foot than a traditional garden, that will provide you with food for the next 30 years, that you never have to weed, never have to use fertilizers, and never have to use pesticide ever. And it's all disguised to look like overgrown underbrush.
That is fantastic. That's the secret recipe for sure. One area where I'm particularly interested in talking about this topic, Rick, is in the urban setting or the suburban setting where people, they don't have big swaths of land in which to garden. You know, maybe they have even a balcony. I think where most of the population actually lives in that sort of situation. Is there anything they can do?
Well, you know, what I've created here is what I call nature culture. So it's the way nature has been growing things for millions of years. And, you know, in nature, you've got symbiotic relationships where you've got a central fruit tree or nut tree, for example, that will be the tallest in an area. And then around that, underneath that, you've got essentially an area that is going to be shaded. So there are certain types of plants that will grow well there. And then around that, you've got full sun again. So your shrubs, your berry bushes, like your blueberries, blackberries, elderberries, that kind of stuff will grow around there. And then you've almost got another complete concentric circle around that of herbs. So those can be your medicinal and cooking herbs. And then around that, you've got ground covers, which can be anything from nitrogen fixing ground cover like clover to edible ground cover like strawberries. And the whole thing works better together than they do by themselves. It's not planting in rows. And essentially, this is the way nature has grown things for millions of years. Now, when I give these presentations to various different prepper conferences, I have people who come up to me who are in suburbia and they live in homeowners associations, and they go, this is the solution. He said, you know, we're not even allowed to have gardens in our because of our homeowners association. So this, it makes it look like just shrubbery that they're planting, and it's all edible, and allows them to have essentially what's a survival garden when they wouldn't be able to have something otherwise.
Well, Rick, you talked about the yield, which is very impressive. What size, I mean, how many, say, square feet per person does one need? If you have a family of four, you know, you need more space, obviously, but what's the sort of yield we're looking at here?
Well, You know, that's a really good question. Essentially, you know, I have a half an acre, and you don't need that much, but I have planted every fruit tree, every berry bush, every nut tree that will grow in my environment here in the Appalachian Mountains. And, you know, we essentially harvest more food than we can possibly consume, and, you know, that would be for a family of four. And you can do it in far less space, and the older that these plants grow, because they are permanent in nature, they're perennials, the more they will produce. So, you know, we are at a point where we just got this thing in about 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's, you know, it's just incredible in terms of the amount of output. But as I said, you know, it produces five times more food per square foot than you would have in a traditional garden.
Okay, so five times more per square foot. But any metric, though, on a per-person square footage, I assume that depends greatly on location. For example, living in the Appalachian Mountains versus living in Phoenix or L.A. or North Dakota, you know, those all differ pretty greatly, right?
It's hard to quantify it. And, you know, I tell people they really need to get in touch with a local nursery. You know, people who, you know, it's not one of the big box stores, for example, when they're looking for their plants, somebody that understands what actually is indigenous to the area. Because you can buy plants like apple trees, for example, and you can get apple trees from one of the big box stores, but they may have come from a location where, you know, they will grow, but they will never set fruit. So you've got to be able to have something that's going to work in your area. And obviously, you know, if you're in Phoenix, you're looking at different types of plants and different plants than what you would find in the Northeast or even in Florida. And I've been in both areas.
Yeah, are there certain areas where you just can't? I mean, of course there are. I know the answer to the question as I'm asking. But how far north, how far south can we go with this stuff? Where can't we do a garden?
You know, this is perennial foods. So, you know, it's not like you're doing your annual vegetables. These things you plant once and you harvest for a lifetime. So there are apple trees in New England and there are apple trees in Texas. And they just have, you know, a different requirement for the number of chill hours. And chill hours are the number of hours below 45 degrees before they set fruit. So, you know, the ones in New England need more chill hours than the ones in Texas. But, you know, I've done this kind of thing in Florida where you're dealing with citrus and banana trees and that sort of stuff. And I've done it in New England where you're dealing with, you know, what essentially is a pine forest area.
And, you know, tell us what a secret garden is not. We talked about what it is a little bit, but what isn't it?
Well, All you do is harvest. Essentially, I have all types of different fruit, as I mentioned, and they all come into season at different times. So essentially, I will go out there and I will carry two buckets amounting to about 6 gallons between the two of them. And every day I will go out in the morning and I will pick about 6 gallons worth of fruit on my little half acre. And It's not work, because all you do is harvest. It's not weeding, as I like to tell people. Weeds are just misunderstood plants. If you have weeds, you know, they are pioneer plants, and in nature they go in where nothing else will grow, and they help to establish the soil and help to break up the soil so that water and aeration can get in, and also help get the little microorganisms going. So, you know, I don't weed. I use the weeds. I don't pull the weeds, but I will cut them off and I will throw them in, and they are food for my goats. And, you know, they're also great because they allow you to, if you have bees like I do that help to pollinate my garden and provide me with honey, they are providing food for those bees, all year round. And, you know, aside from not weeding, it's not using pesticide. 90% of the bugs out there are good bugs. And if you try to kill the bad bugs, you'll ultimately kill the good bugs usually first. And then, you know, if you understand nature, there are fewer predators than there are prey. So, you know, they will certainly and quickly overrun your garden of the bad bugs that you were trying to get rid of if you killed the good bugs first.
Rick, you know, this is so counterintuitive in a way here. You're saying, you know, don't weed, don't use pesticides. It's counter to modern, quote, and I'm saying that mm-hmm. with single quotes, modern oh, agricultural absolutely. Techniques. Yep. Why is it not done this way in the mass corporate farms? I mean, it must be more efficient in terms of yield that you can sell in the corporate farms. Now, of course, there are massive side effects. None of us wants to be eating Roundup.
Right.
But, you know, except Monsanto, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
But why isn't this sort of natural method, you know, that's been around for millions of years used in the corporatocracy?
Well, back in World War II, we had these chemical companies that were making a fortune, became big corporate giants as a result of making bombs for our war effort. And after the war was over, they found themselves with a huge infrastructure and nothing to sell. So they actually found out that they could make fertilizer, because a lot of the same components that you use to make bombs are in fertilizer or pesticides. And that's what they did. And, you know, they helped sort of create the mega corporate farming industry, and you know, that used mechanized machinery and petrochemicals to be able to run those big tractors and combines, etc. And you know, it became more efficient for those farmers to be able to harvest things all at once in a monocrop fashion using that machinery. Unfortunately, it required that they used more and more pesticide and more fertilizer, and they have essentially depleted the nutrients out of the soil. If you look today, back to 1960, if you're eating any vegetables that you'd buy in the grocery store in 1960 contained three times the number of nutrients that they do today. So we're eating food that is not as good for us, and you know, this commercial farming is not something maybe that we certainly can't do as consumers, but you certainly can do something like the Secret Garden Survival for
right.
your own survival preparedness.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally understand that. But I don't know if I quite got my question answered, because,
okay.
you know, what I mean, you always look at follow the money, okay, and the corporatocracy mm-hmm. and government will certainly always follow the money, okay?
Right.
You know, they're looking out for number one, which I have no problem with that. But, you know, I'm just kind of curious. So are you saying that these companies basically, after World War II, they lobbied through marketing and through actual lobbyists, and they changed the way agriculture was done, and now, because of that, they've depleted the soil's ability to produce yield the natural way, and so that's why they do it? Because I would think, you know, in the follow the money concept, the corporatocracy would simply do what is most efficient. So, what you talked at the beginning of the interview how your natural method produces more yield. It is self-maintaining. I mean, these all mm-hmm. sound like great things. Why wouldn't the big corporate farms do this too?
Well, that's a really good
Or maybe
good
you don't know the answer.
Well, that's yeah. that's a really good question, and you know, I think they should. But you know, it requires picking stuff by hand, because you just cannot, you know, have these little ecosystems
right.
throughout your garden.
Okay, got it.
And so it's a labor issue. But you know, if you are a homesteader, or if you are preparing for the end of the world as we know it, mm-hmm. this is the perfect type of garden to have,
sure.
because it's going to provide you with food all year round. And ultimately, you know, it's just you going out there. And the beauty of it is it's disguised to look like overgrown underbrush, because everything grows together
right.
and you can't distinguish anything. So,
it's great.
You know, the masses that are starving and looking for food who didn't prepare are just simply going to walk by your garden, because it's just going to look like somebody abandoned the property.
So do you have any particular basic, I mean, how do you start this? You got to have good soil. So
mm-hmm.
good soil. What seeds should one plant?
What we're talking about is planting trees, berry bushes, herbs, and that sort of stuff. So you can get those, you know, instead of planting seeds, because we're not really talking about your traditional vegetables that you would buy in the grocery store. You're talking about plants that you plant once and they grow for a lifetime. So you know, it's basically fruit and nut trees are central to every little ecosystem, and then around that you plant berry bushes like blueberries and blackberries and elderberries, and then around that you plant herbs So you've got your herb layer, so that's all your medicinal and cooking herbs. And then around that, you've got your ground covers, which again can be anything from, you know, edible strawberries or buckwheat to clover.
And, fantastic. Yeah, good thing. It's an entire ecosystem. It really is. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Rick, before you go, you know, anything else that you want to summarize just to make sure we cover everything that, that you wanted to cover?
Well, you know, I've tried to tell people or show people how they can create, you know, this little Garden of Eden for themselves that works with nature instead of against it. You know, it's a garden that provides you with more and better food, better quality than you could ever imagine, and with less work than any garden you've ever planted before. And perhaps, as I said, most important of all, your garden is disguised to look like nature. So, you know, no one would ever assume you have food planted there.
Right. They'll just walk right by rather than you won't have a theft problem.
Right.
So that's good. That's good. Rick, give out your website, if you would. Tell people where they can get the book.
You can get it at secretgardenofsurvival.com. You can go there and find all the links and find out more information. And you can also get the book on Amazon.com in both a hard copy and a Kindle format. And you can also get the book at BarnesandNoble.com in Nook format.
Fantastic. Well, good stuff. Rick, this has been a fantastic talk and highly recommended for anybody. I love your philosophy about it because, it's again, it's hidden. It's easy. It's self-sustainable. Just everything one wants in a survival garden. So that's fantastic. Rick Austin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about investing in and managing income properties for college students, there's a show for that. If you want to learn how to get noticed online and in social media, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to save on life's largest expense, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know about America's crime of the century, there's even a show for that. Yep. There's a show for just about anything, only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.